difficult hours as this. Judges chapter 11, if you found it, would you say amen? Now would you stand as we honor God's word for just a few verses of reading? I'd like to really begin. I've got lengthy portions, at least to try and preach. I've got in my notes, I wanted to start at verse number 30, but in all actuality, I'd like to begin reading in verse 29. So if that is a different page for you, I want to give you time to find it. Judges chapter 11 and verse number 29. Now if you found that, would you say amen? Amen. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over under the children of Ammon. You can be seated. It's amazing how many steps we take sometimes to get beyond where we've been. This young lad that we're reading about, Jephthah, was born under critical turf. The truth of the matter, he had a black side in his life, a dark place in his life, and nothing that would ever do in life would ever change it. He was the son of a harlot. That's pretty devastating in itself, but where you come from don't have to actually determine where you're going. There can be a major change in your life. There can be a complete turnaround in your heart. And I will tell you, because I may have grew up in South Carolina, didn't have a thing in the world to do with where I'm going.
Amen.
Well, I was born and raised in Dillon, South Carolina, but I want to tell you, thank God I was born again in Lenore, North Carolina, on a Saturday night in a Methodist church, and my whole destiny was turned around.
Yes, sir. Amen. Well, glory. Preach it, brother. Preach it.
Every once in a while, we have the opportunity to talk to people about the better life, what's better and what's greener, what's more hopeful than anything else. And I'm glad Jesus Christ makes a complete turnaround in a person's life. All of this sounds good as it opens up. We'll find in just a little while that this dead shall hide his head, knowing that there's nowhere that he can turn to give him what he really needs in his heart, because he's already opened up his mouth and he cannot turn back. Verse number 30, if you're still with me, class, say amen.
Amen.
And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. May I fast forward for just a moment to give you some of the criteria that makes up the setting? He has been cast out by his own brothers. If you read the early verses of this same chapter, it would declare unto us that Jephthah of Gilead was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art a son of a strange woman. The truth of the matter remains this. Lot got caught in a trap one day, and the lineage of this lad comes through a lifestyle that Lot picked up based on what was bathed in Sodom. Now, don't tell me that you can't get trapped by where you've been. Don't tell me that there's not hooks in your past that seem to be a hindrance in your present.
That's right, preacher.
Now, I'm preaching. Look up here at me. I'm here to tell you that God's a God of grace and a God of glory, and I'm serious about what I'm doing for God. We've got to lay it all down and know that there's nowhere to turn back. There's nothing to turn away from. We've got to accept that what God's doing, he's doing for our honor and his glory. Are you doing what you're doing for God's honor? Jephthah now must come to grips not only with where he has come from, but he must define where he's going. God, let him come out of an environment that was bad. Call it dysfunctional, call it bad, call it dark, call it ungodly, all of that. I'm glad where sin did abound, grace much more did abound. I do believe that a lot of innocent children have been birthed to a time of great darkness from the past. That doesn't change how precious those kids are to God. In my mind, that is the picture that God displays for us here. But notice that when you come from the dark side and you get delivered from the bad and the ugly and the mean and the cruel, there seems to be a constant reminder every time you turn around that something is brought back up that seems to trip you up in mind and in spirit. Jephthah has come away from all of that, and by now he's made a name for himself, or should I say God has.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He's turned from what he knew was wicked and dark and bad because he's run out of town, and all of a sudden conflict comes to his family. A family that has the same dad he had. You still with me? And a family that's reminded of who he was from the past, and all of a sudden they decide that they could use Jephthah. Isn't it amazing that the whole world thinks they could turn us out and put us down beneath the sod of Midian, and that we mean nothing to God but one place in time and one turn in among humanity, and God turns the tide of everything. The people of God are in great conflict. You still with me?
Amen.
And the Lord has turned the tide of things. He has now brought them to a place that they see Jephthah is a man of mightiness, and God has visited with him. Amen. And the Lord's looked after him, and that they now can use him. And Jephthah turns time backwards and says, "Did not you cast me out?" You know what he was saying? "Don't you think I remember how you treated me? Don't you think I remember when I had nothing and I was hurting and my life..." Y'all still here, aren't you? You all still with... You and still here when I start thinking of how much God loved me, and when everybody else turned me down and turned me away and said, "There's no hope, there's no use. Great God up in heaven." God began to mark in time and in grace what he could do with a life that was surrendered to him. Preaching's not near as blunt as it should be.
That's right, brother.
We have showed so many shades of gray in present day church life that not many people really know what sin is anymore categorically. They diplomatically place their words, try to turn our minds and change our hearts and change our lives. But somebody ought to define what heaven and hell is, what goodness and bad is. And I want to tell you, the Bible does every bit of that.
That's right.
Now notice with me that all of these trials, all of these days, all of this darkness, all the bad and all the ugly, Jephthah has got beyond until he reaches a time when they come to him. And I think, like most other people, he reminds them of a day that they didn't want him. And I want to tell you something, in every person's life, there'll come a time in your life when you just have to understand it's God that's after you, not somebody else. It's God that wants to change you, not somebody else. It's God that wants to use you, not somebody else. And when we lay ourselves on his mercy and we give ourselves into his hands, he can do so many things with us that we never dreamed that he could do. So for just a few minutes this morning, I want to try to reel the tape backward and show us just how far Jephthah had come. He had come far enough that he had left his family and he left those that were part of his own blood and began to yoke up in another environment among another people, and God began to show him how great and how mighty he could be among a people that he did not know. I want to tell you what God's after this morning in your life and in my life. He wants you to get to the place that you can connect with him no matter where you are. Are you still with me, class? He wants you to realize that where his power and where his presence and where his promises are, that we can connect and we can get a hold and we can stay. I want to tell you, from the halls of shame, he has brought to us in Hebrews chapter 11, which is considered the fame of God's great patriarchs. And I want to tell you, God honors his faith. I want you to notice, not only did he tell us how far he has come, having come from the past and his family have deserted him, he comes to a place of honor because he's trusted in God to do something for him his family could never do. I think the hardest hurdle we ever get over is a place of finding where we fit in. You know, we think that we can just get among people and make people think that we're spiritual or we've got it all together, when deep down in the fiber of who we are, we've got to find out what God's trying to do with us. I want to tell you, I'm in this for God. I'm not in it for you or you or you or you. I hope that what I do in serving God can impact your life, amen, but I'm in it for Him. And now Jephthah has come to a time and come to a place that he's escalated. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the danger of making promises impulsively. From the halls of shame to the halls of fame, he found out what it was like to come from the dark side and from the dreaded side to a time of favor with God. Let me tell you something. The best friend you got's the Lord. The best hope you got's going to heaven. Amen. The best thing that could ever happen to you is for life to get turned around spiritually. Now I want to tell you, theoretically, if we ever come to a place, if we ever come to a time, if we ever come to an hour where God miraculously changes us, and we know that no matter where we grew up, we are not what we used to be, it'll make an impact on the people around us. Notice one thing that you can understand, that when God lays his hand on you, others will have to take note of it. Now, I've asked you this about five times. Are you with me, class?
Amen.
I want to tell you, God knows from where we came. He shows us that he may have had a humbling beginning. He didn't come from a perfect family. By the way, the best I can tell, the best I can research, not many that God is using comes from a perfect environment. For the record, just so that y'all know what kind of ground I'm standing on, none of us come from a perfect environment. I told someone recently, I said, the truth of the matter was, the home that I grew up in, I had a great mother. I tell you, I was always given something to eat and a place to lay down. And I want to tell you, for those things, I am grateful. But if I look for anything spiritual, that would have been deficient of it. It had no signs of God. But I want to tell you, God didn't judge me based on the home I grew up in. He judges me based on what I do in response to His grace and His love and His mercy. Where are we in the age we live? So many things have grabbed our lives and hooked into our hearts and speared our soul that we're not really sure about how it's going to happen down the road. That's already been worked out for me. Great God up in heaven. I'm glad I've already got it worked out by grace, and I'm glad God's already signed it up, and I'm just waiting on the ride.
Amen.
Brings us up to where we are in verse 29. If you're still hooked up with me, say amen now. Bible said in verse number 29 that something unique happens. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. I'm glad my Bible has a capital S right there. That's not any kind of spirit. That's God's Spirit. You say what you please. Singing don't get you that. God renders that. When I see him now, it is evident that the Lord shows us that the overcoming drawing factor in his life is that the Spirit of the living God. You say, Pastor, what do you think is known about his life and about his heart? It is the fact that God intervened in his life through the power of the Spirit. Even though the Spirit of the living God works in our lives, embraces our hearts, brings us to places that we could have never gone, there's a great danger among us. Capturing the wrong motive, capturing the wrong thought, not understanding the full pledge of doing something that God has involved himself in our life. We've got to find out where is the Lord in our lives. Now in verse 30, that's where I want to begin. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. His family, his brothers have come to him. And they said, Jephthah, we need your help. You know what they were saying? We need you to bail us out. We're a whip up. We don't have it. You ever met anybody that kind of turned you off at one place, but somewhere down the road they passed you with their head hung low, and you could have taken out vengeance on them, and you could have done all the wrong stuff, but God reminded you that grace is sufficient and heaven is real, and God can do anything he pleases by his wonderful grace.
Amen.
If you read the earlier verses in the chapter, they come now to plead and to try to deal with him about what has happened. First thing they did was not say, Jephthah, look, Don't come to be our brother. Come and be our captain. I tell you, that's one big jump from where he has been. It's from a big fat zero, praise God, to a big great hero. Amen. I want to tell you, you look better in the family of God than you did in your own natural family. You said, but I'm proud of my dad and mother. Good for you. You said, I'm glad. Thank God where I've been. I'm glad the Lord's been good to me. Amen, amen, amen. We won't fuss and fight over that. But I want to tell you what you are worth to God in the spirit of his wonderful grace makes far more of an advantage in your life and mine than anything else. Let's talk about some of those things that he had to deal with. First of all, he had to deal with those that did not want him, all of a sudden wanted him to be the king, wanted him to be the captain. Do you understand that being a captain in those days, you had to know something about warfare? You had to be equipped with the goods that could watch in. I'm here to tell you why David went in and superseded uncircumcised Philistines. Was because he had the power of God on his life. He believed that the power that delivered the lion and the bear into his hands could deliver that uncircumcised Philistine. And these were days of great honor. Did you know sometimes the applause of men can mislead us? What happened in Jephthah's life brought him to a place and he began to think, you know, this has been good. This is great. All of a sudden, the mending of the fences has taken place according to verse number 6. Jephthah said in verse number 7, I'm not really sure of the spirit that he had here, but it said that Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did ye not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? He said, I know you're in trouble, and all of a sudden you found good in me. By the way, can I just tell you something? That whether or not other people see good in us, God can bring good out of us. So give your energies to him and don't let what anything happens along the way interfere with it. Just lean into the Lord. God's never done you wrong. God's never done you harm. The Bible said they meant it for harm. God meant it for good. We've got to find where the Lord is. From the hall of shame to the halls of fame, Jephthah grew and God began to work in his life. Yes, his birth revealed he was a son of a harlot. His brothers revealed they are angry at him trying to take their inheritance. Verse number 3, they got all torn up and they dwelled in the land and gathered together all vain men and they went out with him. I want to tell you, there's a lot of things that people have to walk through to get where God wants them. The thing that's most troubling to me is that people don't always look for where God is leading when there's turbulence in their life. Please listen closely. If we don't listen for where God is at work, among the turbulence of our lives, we shall possibly miss the great opportunities we could ever have in our existence. Are you still with me? Boy, I want to tell you right now, it doesn't matter what's happened in the past. Doesn't even matter what's happened today. What matters is what has God got in mind for you and for me. I can see now that something the Lord is wanting to do in Jephthah, he has to reveal to him. I want to pull out a few things that I think are going to help us beyond those places. Notice in verse number 30, it gives to us at least somewhat of an indication of the Lord at work in Jephthah's life. First of all, he always wanted to please the Lord. I believe that. The Bible said, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hand. Now, I do believe that Jephthah, in spite of how far down the road he had been, has forgotten something real important. He has forgotten that the Lord didn't ask him to make these kind of promises. See, I am of a different thought pattern than some people are. The Lord wants us to live by faith and not by sight. One of the biggest tragedies in Old Testament is the fact they were always looking for a handprint or some way that they could know that God was around them. And that's good and fine and well, and that's wonderful, but it just might not be that that's what God's wanting to do. It might be that we have to be like a Noah and preach even if we hadn't heard the thunder roar and the lightning flash. It might be that we have to be like an Abraham, who left his family and left his farm and left his fortune. And the Bible said he searched for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. We have to be a people of faith. And now we come to a time in Jephthah's life that even though he meant well, he said the wrong thing. He put an if. That word if in the Hebrew language is a word of meeting conditions. Now, I hate to put you on the spot, but I think that I am in favorable company this morning. How many in here could say, I have talked to God before and at some stage or some place in my life, and I have used the word if in my life? If you'll be honest, hold your hand up. Thank you. I conclude with you this morning that is part of the weak fiber of who we are. But I want to tell you that even though he mentions those things and he professes to be a man of faith, he is going to have to own up for what's happening. Got to read these verses. If I don't, what I've got to say here forward may not make sense. He said, if you'll deliver those children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. I don't have time to develop all these offerings, but it was a serious thing to be participant in an offering in those days. Number one, I want you to be mindful that the Oriental way of living is somewhat different than our Western way of thinking. In the courtyard of the average Oriental home, they would have livestock all around their home place. So in the gates of where they lived, it would not be uncommon for you to find a calf or a lamb or whatever coming in and out of the home place. And in Jephthah's mind, what he was thinking by the Lord, him agreeing with God, that if he gave him the victory, that he would offer the first thing that came through the door, he had in mind, I really believe this, that some livestock from the farm would be walking through the gate. And he could offer that willingly. But guess what happened? The first thing through the doors of his life and his house was his only daughter. Can you imagine how devastating it would be for you to have meant well and made a statement and wanted God to be pleased with your life and wanting to show the Lord how much you cared and make a statement like that without understanding the repercussions of it down the road? Can you imagine how he must have felt when what he saw came before him? Number one, the same thing happens to him that happens to every person that makes promises in faith. Number one, it startled him. It startled him to think that the price that he must now pay is greater than what he had hoped to bear. I don't know, but I dare say today that very few people are making very many sacrifices to serve God. He meant so much well in what he was doing. So the Bible speaks to us in great clarity that God was at work. And even in that time of great dread and even in that time of great sorrow, something began to happen in Jephthah's life that we are reminded of. The Bible said in verse number 33, or verse number 32, so Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. Victory wrought, amen? The battle has been won. Boy, that ought to have been shouting grounds, right? Amen? Notice what happened in 33. And he smote them from Amor, even until thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto the house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with trembles and with dances. By the way, that was pretty much common when victory had been wrought. They just rejoiced and danced and gloried over victory been wrought. The truth is, she didn't know what her daddy had agreed and promised God. She was dancing in joy, thinking the victory that had been won, but she didn't really realize what will lie behind all this victory. By the way, I do not think that God himself prompted Jephthah to make such a statement. God just asked us to commit to Him. Now, I want to ask you a question soberly. Think about it. Don't lift your hand. When you were born into the family of God, did you tell God you'd live for Him? Did you tell God that He would own you and that your life is His and that you would trust Him for everything? I will tell you something. That is a very sobering thought, to think that we could come from the halls of shame and to the halls of fame and forget the promises that we've made. Boy, my tongue moves in fast motion. My mind can hardly catch gear with it. And Jephthah came to Mizpah under the house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with trembles and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art of them that trouble me, for I had opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." I want to show you something this morning. God never intended for us to go back on our promises that we made unto Him. Well, we live in a day of great broken promises. People think nothing about the words that they say to God anymore. I tell you, in 24 years of ministry, I've heard people say, "Well, Lord, if you'll just make me well, I'll serve you. God, if you'll just take care of me, if you just get me out of this one, amen. God, if you'll just turn my life around, I'm going to change." Only to get somewhere down the road and find ourselves further and further from what we promised God. I want to tell you, as Jephthah said, he said, "I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." I've got good news for you this morning. We come too far to turn back now. We've got to press on and do what we told God that we would do. Number one, we told God we would commit to Him our life. Many people do you know that's uncommitted? Do you think that we have empty pews this morning because of committed people? Now, every person that is absent this morning may not be a sign of a lacking commitment. But if you search very closely, you'll find that there is a deficiency in commitment. Old Jephthah has now come to grips, and in his mind, he's thinking in the back of his mind, "She's the only daughter I have. I'll never have grandchildren if she herself has been set aside and can be nothing more than an offering to God. I'll never have kids anymore." Of course, one of the greatest perplexities in the scripture is the fact that commentators divide themselves on whether he literally offers his daughter as a dying sacrifice, or he separates her unto her own virginity for her whole life, and he's still left vacant and void. I want to tell you, I think men are perplexed and puzzled because they don't really understand all that was in the promise. No need for me to speculate. There are some pieces in Scripture that are somewhat so deep in their thought pattern, and they are so strange in their direction, even though when we are praying, somebody said, "Well, I'm not sure, Pastor, I prayed just right." I've got news for you. God is able to discern the heart. He, whether you can say it with your lips or not, He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly. I've seen them say, "Well, I'm just not sure that I did it just right. Was I supposed to do it 1, 2, 3? Let me tell you something. If you are a hell-bound sinner and you're lost without Christ, if you come to God with your brokenness, He will save you because He said He would. I'm so sick and tired of people thinking they got to have the 1, 2, 3 step inside the gate theory and get born again. You know, some people think you've got to cry. Now, I was broken over my sin, I must confess. But I read nowhere in the scriptures that you had to literally cry to get born into the family. I do believe there's such a yearning depth in the heart of a man's soul that he's broken over the condition that he's in. And I'm a firm believer that some people just need to get, they need to come to grips with that, that they need to get concerned enough about where they live in eternity. Now, we're going to pivot away from the standard man to the spiritual man. Notice that in Jephthah's mind and in Jephthah's heart and in Jephthah's world, he comes to grips with what he promised. I want to tell you something. We've got to re-examine where we're living. There was a time in our lives when strong commitment was no problem. There was a time in our life we didn't care whether anybody liked it or not. We just going to serve God, and it didn't make any difference. I mean, the truth of the matter is this. Hey, fellas, all this stuff messed up in here this morning. My fussing's not with you. I done told you who the enemy is, the devil. He don't care. He just like for this thing to be constantly ringing in my ear. But what he knows is this South Carolina boy can't take all that ringing in his ear. He's dumb enough without putting something else in to make him that much dumber. The truth is that he would try to do everything that he could to keep this word from being presented, but God has made it a purpose and a plan in the life of Jephthah. He says, son, I brought you from nothing and I've given you everything. By the way, when there's a time that we must listen to the fiddle, be reminded of how far you've come, and I think it will help you deal with the tragedy of your promises. Number one, I want you to be mindful that even though it was heartbreaking, he said, I've opened my mouth and I cannot turn back. He knows that what he said impulsively. And even though it was in that he intended to honor God, it cost him his own daughter. I want to tell you something that troubles me. People sometimes blame children for why they can't do this and that. I don't think I'd do that. I believe that I would just take what I have and say, Lord, would you give me thorough insight to where you are and what you're doing and the way that you're working so that when it's all complete and it's all said and done, that I follow what you want in my life. First of all, I want you to notice Jephthah made a promise. That is a fact in verse number 30. He said he vowed. That word in the Greek language is the word for promise. He said, the Bible said in verse number 30, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver. You know what Jephthah was after? He was after knowing that the power and the presence and the glory of God was on his life. That's all he really meant. I want to tell you something. I've made a lot of blunders and I've made a lot of failures, but if I had not made blunders and I had not made failures, I would have accomplished nothing. By the way, don't look at how many blunders I've made and how many corrections I've got to make. I don't believe if we all examine our own life, we've got too much room to gloat. Something happened in his heart. He's reminded. He's reminded of where the Lord is and how the Lord stayed on his side. First things that I understand is that he's certifying based on who he was. He knew he came from nothing and God made him everything that he was. He not only declares to us by what he said was an answer to what he thought was the will of God, it was a declaration from the heart of his servant. The condition. If you're still with me, say amen. I'll try to hurry. I know I've balked a few times. I've been through the furnace this morning. The Bible said, if thou shalt without fail deliver. It's amazing how even people of faith sometimes put conditions on their life. We do it all the time. How many in here has ever told their kids, if you do this, I'm going to do so and so. Hold your hand up. If you do this, I'm going to thank you. Okay, thank you. We live in the promise age, you know. If you be real good, we're going to buy you a toy. Man, I've been in some stores, and I thought, my God, if that was my kid, I believe there'd be less hump on them when we got to the house. You know that cushiony part that's rolled out back here? I've seen them lay down in the department store, and you have to. Some of them may have been your kids. I don't know. And they just lay down in the department store and screamed and pitched a fit, and they start counting. Bless God, there ain't no time to count when they acting like a devil. Don't be trying to count nothing. Amen. I want to tell you, you can say what you please, but the truth of the matter is this. Jephthah didn't have nobody to really train him and tell him. All he had was a spirit of a living God. And even though he may have made a mistake and said the wrong words, he was after God with all of his heart. The truth is, we're going to have to live with some of the decisions we made that were wrong. Some of you guys right here, I want to tell you this. If we lived every day thinking of every wrong decision that we've made, and that's the only sound that we hear, that would intimidate our future. It would take the life out of our spirit. If every one of you ladies in this room thought about all the wrongs, and if I could just redo life, let's just face the facts. You will never redo your life. You have to be crazy and think that you're going to come back as a gnat or a fly and be something different. And I'd hate to believe that I was like some people believe you're going to come back as a fly or a gnat, because most of them, when I was raised on the farm, hung around piles of poop. If God doesn't have more in mind for me than that, my life's going nowhere fast. But I can see Jephthah, he's a man that's having to own up to the promises that he made. But he does it like a man of integrity. He bows his head and his heart in grief, and he says, there's an if. First of all, he wanted God's appointment in his life. I want to tell you something. You can do it all the right way. I want to tell you something. You can be a lady and try to dress right, look right, be right, conduct yourself right, and the devil still won't play fair. I've never seen a time when good, sound, solid people are so intimidated on every corner, talked about and everything else, just because they're a little bit different. Amen. I want to tell you right now, I see him. He said, Lord, if you'll just deliver, if you'll appoint, if you'll direct, if you'll give, if you'll just put your hand in this matter, if you'll do something that I could never do, that's what he's saying. Without fail, deliver the children of Ammon into my hands. Now, I want to tell you something. We always think there's another crowd darker down the road than we are in the way they look and the way their life is, that they're a heathen. Do you know why his brothers hated him so? It's because his mother was not one like their mother. I'll tell you something. I thank God that the Lord saves people based on their condition. They're lost. My mother... I watched the Get Saved first revival meeting that I ever preached down in the South in my home church when I was a kid in Dillon, South Carolina. If you go to Highway 301, Second Baptist Church, a nice new church building, I preached two revival meetings in that church. My mother got saved the first day of the meeting when I preached. I can't tell you how I felt. But you know what? I never went to where she was. I didn't go to that altar. I didn't bow down, try to shake her up emotionally. I left her alone. Some of the people in that church that had been going to church with her, I let them huddle around her. And she bowed her head and she pleaded before God. See, I believe God is powerful enough that no matter what road we've been down, grace can change it. Some of you sitting in this room this morning, you can confess with your own mouth that had God not come to where you were and changed your life and turned things around for you, you'd have been in the gutter holes of life even yet this morning. There would have been no hope for your life, but I'm here to tell you that no matter what it is, God remembers all of those promises. I've got to wind this up. It's not because I'm done, because I guess I'm just out of time. I want to give you two or three things. Number one, Jephthah asked that they might be delivered into his hands. I want to show you what I believe is a justifiable desire. Number one, he wanted God to dominate ungodliness. If you were a people like those people were, always constantly stirring and dickering in the crowd that loves God, you'd want vengeance after a while too. By the way, he's got some of his granddaddy in him. Huh? There's places that his family has gone that put a stigma on his family. And we're living in a time now, you know, this crowd is saying, well, if you have faith enough to believe, bless God, it'll all be, oh, you just ain't got enough faith. Let me tell you something. I read the book and it said it can visit to the third and the fourth generation. Don't you tell me you can undo the word of God. It ain't going to happen. We got some of this Christ just believes you can just open up your head toward heaven and say, okay, I believe, Lord, I believe. I'm just going to confess it. You can confess all you want. It won't change it. You just have to surrender yourself and let God take whatever measures He knows is necessary and work these things out in our life. From the halls of shame to the halls of fame, you can't major on how many failures you've made. You've got to trust in what God's done and the hope that He's brought you. I said there were two or three things. He wanted God's power and direction in his life. He wanted God's force and dominion among his family. Let me say this in concluding this morning. More than any other time, our homes need to reunite with God. More than any other time. More than any other time, we need the favor of God and not some fantasy painted by man. I was saying to someone recently, I listened to one of the most famous television preachers on a little clipping just recently, and if I called his name, you'd know him. You know what he said in his clipping? He said that Jesus didn't come to be the Messiah. Boy, that's real close to blasphemy. According to what I read in Isaiah, he said that they shall call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. In my opinion, he did come to be the Messiah. All across national television, this man preaches with great charisma. But I saved it because I knew people wouldn't believe me. That's pretty dark. I want to tell you right now, if you bypass Jesus, you go straight to hell. You will not pass go. You will not collect $200. I'm here to tell you there's a dark side in life, and you've got to trust what God's doing no matter what. Well, how in the world do you close a service like this? Looks like all we've done is shoot demons off the walls and the PA system. But I'm here to tell you, this is what I think God wants us to consider. Number one, be careful what you do in your surrender and what you say in your mouth. Because when you've opened up your mouth, you cannot turn back. You say, what does God really want our church to do then, Pastor? He wants us to humbly beseech Him. You know what would be wrong with us just saying, Lord, I want to come this morning in my own life, and I want to understand what it is you want from me. Don't make promises that you can't keep. Amen? Do you know our nation's in trouble this morning? Someone said, when your outgo is more than your income, your upkeep is more than your butt can stand. You said, Preacher, what does that mean? That means you can't give away spending money that you don't have appropriated already in the bank and think that you can keep the world going. That's what that means. It means that you can become bankrupt. It means that life can become stale and hopeless. But I've got good news, because I read in Romans 8 and 28 that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to your purpose. You say, Pastor, do you think the children of God have hope in a time of great economic collapse? Certainly. I'm not living on the stock market. I'm living on God. The supernatural always supersedes the physical. Let's stand all across the house. I don't think we need a piano player this morning. But I'm going to be very strong in my appeal to you. I wonder, could you say this morning in your heart, Preacher, I would just like to come to that altar, and I would like to ask God to reveal Himself to me. Don't come and make 10 promises and say, I'm going to not miss another service for the next 2 years. If you would just give yourself to Him and say, I want to come as a person of faith, and I don't want the Lord to work in my life and to work in my heart and to work in my church and to work in my family. I want God to reveal Himself. I want to know what the Lord wants of me. Then I'm going to ask you to slip out right now and get in this altar. I'm not asking you, not trying to put pressure on you. Just want to know if you could do that this morning. And if you're not willing to do that, there's a good chance you're not willing to do anything. I'll tell you something. I believe the time has come that we've got to make a difference. I'll tell you something. I'll say to my family, you can't make it without Him. There's no way without God revealing Himself and His hand and His will, and some things men want just never was the will of God to start with. But they hanging on to it, wanting it, and it ain't the will of God for their life. Heads bowed and eyes closed now. Many are in this altar.